This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're currently waiting for the briefing from the Director General of Health to begin. But in the meantime, we also wanted to take a quick look at what the MCO will mean for education. So as a recap, only students who are taking key national exams for the years 2020 and 2021 will be able to physically attend school, and this includes SPM, STPM students. Everyone else from Standard 1 to Form 4 will continue learning online. For reference, school was initially supposed to begin on January 20th.
So, of course, this has given rise to some concerns among parents and students, right, about the safety of attending classes, even with SOPs in place. And one of the main things that has had people asking questions about is the fact that teachers who are returning to teach these classes will not have to undergo a COVID test.
Yes, and the reason for that is the current healthcare system's testing capacity is already strained. And so what we're relying on, therefore, is strict SOPs. And I think the question here is, with the numbers being what they are, is there sufficient comfort on both the side of teachers as well as students and parents, you know, to really go back to school and study? Just as a quick side note, private kindergartens in this vein of education can continue operating face-to-face, and this is to accommodate working parents. So we want to know, I mean, how do you feel about this? If you are a parent, are your children feeling all right about, you know, continuing to stay at home or go to school, whatever the case may be? You can let us know. We are also going to be crossing over now to Datin Nor Azima Abdul Rahim, president of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE. Datin Azima, good to hear from you. To start off, how are you feeling about the return of the MCO, and what impact do you think it will have on education?
Well, I suppose the MCO was not unexpected, and with the new case numbers rising so much. But of course, as far as education is concerned, it's disappointing because the children were looking forward to going to school. But on the other hand, it's just the federal territories and the five states which are affected. And this is only until the 26th of January. So basically, you're only missing a week of school unless it gets extended.
So there is a level of uncertainty for schools on when they might be allowed to reopen. But for now, exam students are able to return. How are teachers and students feeling about this?
Well, I think as far as the students are concerned, they're very happy to go back to school. And we ourselves have been advocating for the return of Forms 5 and 6 so that they can at least complete their trials. I think about 20% of schools haven't completed their trials. And they have the big exams, you know, in February. There's so little time for them to do anything. In fact, I don't understand why they couldn't have even opened schools in the first week of January, because every day counts.
And I also want to address the fact that teachers won't be required to get tested for COVID-19. What do you make of this decision?
Well, I think, of course, prevention is better than cure. And I think that as far as everyone sticks strictly to the SOPs, no one should get infected in schools. And as far as teachers being tested are concerned, it would be a major task if 450,000 teachers would be tested ahead of the reopening of schools, not to mention the cost of it, even if you go for the antigen testing, which is quicker and cheaper. But there's no guarantee that by testing you won't get infected a few days' time. There's no guarantee that you will not get infected. And the teachers who probably want to get tested or may be encouraged to get tested are those who have been contact traced, just to be sure. And on the other hand, I think we've seen that students at that age already get infected. And I think the figure quoted at a recent webinar was that it was only 0.26% of students among those who get infected. And if they do get infected, it's probably just a light fever for a few days and they recover, you know. So we have to see a balance between risk and benefit. I think generally parents, although a bit wary and anxious. I think they're quite happy to see the children go back to school. Children are happy when they get to see their friends. And I think parents also realize that the kids need to get down and do some serious studying, as remote learning didn't work at all for a lot of students.
Now, you mentioned the SOPs. What are your thoughts on the effectiveness of these SOPs? I mean, schools were closed for the past 2 months, but how well did they work before then? And are there things that could be improved?
Well, the minister said that SOPs last year and this year will remain the same, but he says enforcement will be tighter. But what does he mean by enforcement will be tighter? Because that's crucial. Because we know that over 1,000 pupils got infected last year, but we don't know where and how they got infected. So if some of them did get infected in school, what precautions do we need to take this time round to ensure it doesn't happen? You know, and I'd like to relate a student who told me this when they returned to school, and she said, the teacher says that when the teacher pulls down her mask, the kids have to wear their mask. And when the teacher puts out her mask, the students can pull down their mask. And this is absolutely wrong, because you're supposed to keep your mask on at all times unless you're eating. So, you know, this already goes against the SOP. And kids being kids will just listen to what the teacher says. So this carries on. I'm afraid, you know, schools will have to close even before we warmed up. But I think teachers themselves have to understand what SOPs mean.
So remote learning will continue for most of the students in the country. Are schools now better equipped to provide this as compared to last year?
I don't think we have, because connectivity remains the same, which means that only some students are connected and majority are not. I don't think there's been much improvement in improving connectivity in the past months. There have been some efforts by some groups to get kids' devices, but it's so minimal. And until and unless parents themselves spend on devices, I don't think there is any improvement. Then that includes storage as well. And for students who are not connected, TV pendidikan is the only alternative. And it's quite boring, you know. While kids now enjoy 21st century learning via the internet, TV pendidikan is actually 20th century learning. It doesn't make the child want to learn at all. You know, unfortunately, this is all that these kids have access to. But of course, we cannot forget that books are also important. And I think that the ministry should have arranged for school textbooks to be written last year, so that they could have taken their new books early this year and at least go through the current year textbooks just to be ahead of what to expect in the new academic year.
Dr. Nazima, thank you very much for those insights on students returning to school.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.